We pray for Stu. Lord, we thank you for Stu, and we just pray your anointing on him this morning, that as he speaks, that we would have ears to hear what you would say to the church, what you say to your people. Lord, it's still up to us to open our hearts and to expect to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Wow, it's been a really good morning so far. Awesome. Runa did a great job speaking. Really well done. It was very, very honouring of us who went to Norway, so thanks. It's been great having Runa and Monica with us this week. And amazing response from the church. It's really touching to see so many people get up wanting to encourage and share, and for the Zambia team. It's just awesome. Yeah, it's good. Wow, there's lots of people here. It's exciting. Cool. Well, Gina and I have been on our travels. Gina's my Norwegian wife, daughter, Runa and Monica there. We've been traveling around the last month or so, maybe 6 weeks, and we've been very blessed to go to lots of different conferences. We went to Prague, Awaken Europe in Prague, which there's the third one, and it's just a meeting really where they're just trying to gather as many people, share the gospel, and then they do an outreach into the city. So they've done Nuremberg in Germany, Stockholm, Sweden, now they've done Prague. And yeah, it was just awesome to be there. We've been to Harrogate, and we've been to Stoke, Telford, yeah. So we've been traveling around. It's been great fun, and I was just trying to think of what can I share, what can I... I can't tell you that I've had any particular encounter with God in any of these conferences that we've been to and stuff, and we're very blessed. We work for God TV, and we get to go. But one thing that I think I have brought home with me and that's really changed in me, certainly after the Prague conference, is just this realization again of how much God loves us and how much more God wants us to enjoy life just every day. He just wants us to enjoy life. You know, like there's just such a freedom in just knowing that we're his. We belong to him. You know, he's our dad, but it seems so simple. I can't explain it, but I just came away from that conference just amazed at how much he loves me and how much he wants us just to enjoy being his. And as we increase in the knowledge that we're his, he made us. I mean, my brother's just had a baby, and, you know, just looking at little Eli, you know, a day old or 2 days old, it's just like, I don't know. It's just something so amazing about that. But God created us in our mother's womb, you know. Anyway. So he really wants us to enjoy life. I mean, he really does. And I just think every day, you know, we need to remind ourselves. One of the words that came from this morning was we need to fight the good fight. And sometimes I think fighting the good fight is remaining present every day. It's not getting locked in the regret of past, and it's not having fear of the future. It's actually just being able to be present right now, where I can have impact, where I can bring value, where I can actually do something right now. It's the only time you can really do something is right now. You know, and God wants us to enjoy that journey, you know, right where we are, whatever that may look like. So, yes, cool. So we are, well, I'm assuming we're believers. We believe in Jesus, yeah? And if you're not a believer, then maybe you'll have an opportunity to meet him today, and that'll be really awesome. So we give our lives, we're accepted into the kingdom of God, and we're adopted into his family, which is amazing. We become believers. Scripture says, I think it's in Romans, I didn't write it down. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we have to believe, don't we? Believe in the name of Jesus. And that's who we are. We're believers, and that's where we begin. That's where we begin our journey with Jesus. We have to believe in him. And the exciting thing is that might be where we begin our journey, but that's not where our journey ends. Because as we know in Scripture, we're called to be disciples. A disciple isn't just someone who believes. A disciple is someone who continues in the Word of God. And that's where I'm going to kick off this morning. In the Gospel of John, and I've got... chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus is speaking here. And he says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said. So Jesus is speaking to the Jews who had believed in him. He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to people who already believe in his name and have already given their lives. And he says, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Or if you continue, if you abide, if you continue in the word of God, then you're really my disciples. So something that's really impacted me recently is that there is an opportunity for us to be believers and not become disciples. And one of maybe the issues of church today is that too many churches are filled with believers. And that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. We need to be believers. We need to believe upon the Lord. But we are commanded and commissioned to become disciples. So we can keep coming to church every week, and we can keep singing great songs, and we can keep having awesome meetings. We can even give prophetic words, and all of that is awesome. And I love it. But we're commanded, and we're commissioned, and we're called and chosen, amen, to be disciples. And how do we become disciples? Well, one of the very keys Jesus gives us here is that we have to continue in the Word of God. We have to read the Word of God, and we have to continue in it. Amen? All right, good. So then it continues here. If you hold on to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. So first we have to continue in the teaching of God. We have to continue in his word, and when we do that, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Well, the interesting thing, and I just said it, is that the truth doesn't just set you free, because there's lots of different truth out there. It's the truth that you know that enables you to walk in freedom. So a lot of us today may not be walking in the freedom that God has won for us and that God has bought for us and died for us because we don't know it. You know, there's lots of scriptures and there's lots of, you know, people pray often. And again, I'm not disrespecting any of it. All scripture is God-breathed and it's right. But sometimes we can apply a scripture to life that we've heard, but we don't know it. And we can wonder why we don't see fruit from it. Now, God is gracious and God is good and God will bring us fruit. He will. But there's also a very clear instruction in scripture that Jesus gives us that says we need to continue in the word of God until we know it. And when we know it, what we know, that truth that we know, will enable us to walk in freedom. And the word for know here is like, it is the most intimate you can be. Like the picture is husband and wife. When a husband and wife know each other, like TJ and Joe, they produce fruit. And now they have little Eli, you know. So when we know God, when we walk with God, when we continue in his word, and that word becomes so real to us, it becomes so alive in us, and that revelation, we start walking in it and believing in it, and it just gets ingrained in us. We know that, and then we'll start seeing fruit in our life. But it's not enough. It's not enough just to maybe read a scripture now and then, or just to have heard a scripture. That's not enough. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know the word of God. And it's so challenging because it's a good challenge. There's no condemnation here. This is Jesus basically saying, get to know me and you'll walk in freedom. It's an invitation, the most awesome invitation we could ever receive. It's amazing. So another great Bible verse, you know, who the Son sets free is free indeed. But this poses a question. Do you know that you're free, or have you just heard a scripture about it? Do you know you're free? Really? Do you know it? Are you walking in freedom today? Yeah? Amen. I hope you are. You know, and there's more freedom to be gained. It's not like somewhere we arrive, is it? But it's exciting and it's good. So it's only the truth you know that sets you free. Amen. Right, so let's move on. I've got to go quick. So Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word of God, and we need to encounter Jesus in scripture. And again, this is stuff we know, but do we really know this? You know? It's challenging. It's good. So continuing in Chapter 15, he says, and again, these will be verses that we're familiar with, so I'm going to go quick. I am the vine, you are the branches. You can't do anything unless you remain in me. And then in verse 7, he reveals more. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. So if you remain in me, if we remain in Jesus, and the word of God remains in us, something happens. What happens? Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given. But what needs to happen? The word of God needs to remain in us. How does something remain? How do we abide? We stay there. We continue in it. We fight for it. That was a word that was brought this morning. We have to remain. We have to continue. And it gets even better. And this has been spoken about. Dave mentioned it this morning. This is to my Father's glory. You know, Jesus lived and lives to bring his dad glory. Everything he did. Because he saw the Father do, and he heard what the Father said. So this is a really big deal. It's to the Father's glory. We get to bring the Father glory. So, you know, that we bear fruit to show ourselves. I mean, I need to read this scripture, sorry. It's too good. Chapter 15, where am I? Verse 7. So if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So there's clear instruction, there's a clear picture here. That to be a disciple, we need to continue in the word of God and stay in it. Continue, because we will bear fruit, because the word of God says so. Bearing fruit brings glory to God, and we show ourselves to the world as his disciples. That's pretty cool. And it keeps going. So, yeah, I gave that example as a man and a woman. I'm not going to go there anymore. So to bear fruit in God's kingdom, we need to know him and we need to know his word. And my mum spoke last week. She spoke really, really well and gave a lot of wisdom. And one of the words she said a very well-known scripture again that says, the word of God does not return to him void. It cannot return to him void. And I thought about that. I'm like, you know, I've heard that a lot. And I've been preparing this talk. And I'm like, this is a classic scripture that I've heard and I think I understand. But I don't really know what that means. And Gina even said to me, because she's Norwegian, she was like, I don't really get that translation and et cetera. And I just thought, I'm going to read this scripture. And so it's in Isaiah 55. So just listen, just two verses. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. How many words have you received? How many words has God spoken over your life? How many times has someone prophesied? How many times have you been encouraged? How many times has the word of God, you know, have you been encountered by it? And I just had this idea and this thought that what is happening with all these words? Where are they? Because they can't go back to him. As sure as when it rains, the earth gets wet. God is going to achieve his purpose. Like, but there is something that we have to do to make it happen. We have to continue. We have to co-labor. We have to step in, you know? And I think in here is like, it's like we're pregnant with the word of God and with what he wants to do. But I think God is waiting for us just to continue, to take a stand, to say, you know what? I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop moving until your word bears fruit in my life because it's to your glory. God wants it to happen more than you do. You know, and so it can't return to him empty. And 1 Peter 23 tells us the word of God is an incorruptible seed. So what does that mean? If it's an incorruptible seed, it means that if we're not bearing fruit in our life, it's not the seed's fault. Because incorruptible. The word of God is incorruptible. It's our heart. It's the soil of our heart. It's the soil of our life in which God's seed is planted that we need to be checking, you know? So God wants his glory revealed in us, and it's who we're called to be. So all that to say, church, let's not give up. God wants this to happen. He wants, and I'm not saying we're not bearing fruit. I'm not saying that I'm not saying these things at all. I'm just trying to stir you and encourage you that there's so many words that God wants to see, he wants to bring about. I mean, just Runa testifying, you know, that we went out there and we prophesied and we spent time together. And here they are. They've moved. They've taken those words. They've listened to them and they've continued in them. And they've made decisions based on them. And now they're bearing fruit. And there's going to be more fruit. You know? And that's what we're called to do. So the soil of our hearts and lives determine the growth. If we're not bearing fruit, the issue cannot be the seed, because the seed is incorruptible. But we can't do this. We can't do anything without the presence of God. We can't do anything without Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit in our lives. We need him so much. You know, it's the Spirit of God that empowers us to change the world. And we so desperately need Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to kind of shift into Holy Spirit. I just wanted to lay that foundation of the word because it's just been alive in me. And I'm aware I'm going quickly. But we desperately need Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just welcome you again and ask that you will just be here amongst us. We acknowledge you are here. So flow, I thank you that you're flowing in this place. You are the Spirit of God. You are God himself. And you are welcome in our midst. Thank you. You know, the 12 disciples, just think about it for a moment. The 12 disciples, they walked with Jesus for 3 years, every day. They got up, they walked with him, they hang out with him. They would have known all of his sermons. They would have seen all of his miracles. They would have heard him preach. They would have sung the songs. They knew Jesus intimately. They were really close. You know, they just hung out with the guy. It would just imagine. It would have been so awesome being a disciple. If the disciples were on the earth today, you would want to hang out with the disciples. You would want to be where they were. You'd want to hear them preach. They would get all the, you know, they would be honored. You know, I'm trying to think of someone, I don't know, Derek Prince or someone who we think of, who's highly esteemed, Smith Wigglesworth or whoever. But if they were around today, we'd want to listen, wouldn't we? We'd be desperate to be in their church. Yet, even with everything they had and all the experience they had, Jesus still did not release them until they had the Holy Spirit. He did not release them. And none of us are as qualified as the disciples were because we haven't physically walked with Jesus. So we need to think of the significance of what Jesus did when he sent them to the upper room. I mean, that, it was quite incredible. So we have 12 disciples incredibly prepared, yet there was still something they needed and something that they didn't have. And it's just this thing, isn't it? You can't give someone something that you don't have. It doesn't matter how prepared you are, how good you are. It doesn't matter. If you don't have it, you can't give it. And the disciples were, as I've said, as we know, they were incredibly prepared, even though, you know, they made a lot of mistakes, bless them. But they're pretty awesome. And so Jesus sends them to Jerusalem, sends them to the upper room, and tells them to wait for the Spirit of God to come upon them. And it came. So Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. You know, they could have gone out as they were. They could have gone out without the Holy Spirit, but they just would have been sharing stories. They just would have been sharing songs. That there wouldn't have been any power. And one thing that sometimes I feel like we lack sometimes today is power. The power of God to see things. You know, we can have... I'm a church man. I work for church. I love church. But it doesn't matter how good a meeting is structured. It doesn't matter how clever we are with our welcome or how, you know, powerful the worship is. If we don't have the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to change the world, that fills us and impacts us and goes out. We need Holy Spirit. So they wait for 10 days together in prayer and anticipation, and we know the story. The Holy Spirit comes in power. Tongues of fire. There's a mighty sound from heaven. It's chaos. People said they look drunk. They're in the street. They're speaking in different languages. And it was just like a Holy Spirit party, and one I wish I'd been there to enjoy. You know, but the thing we must remember is that Christianity, our very religion, Christianity started with the Holy Spirit party. The church is founded on speaking in tongues. It's founded on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that as we get more sophisticated and as we get, you know, technology advances and as all these different things to pull our attention, actually it's the Spirit of God that we need to be hungering after and seeking with all of our heart. It's the Spirit of God that changes us. One moment in God's presence can change you forever. One moment, one touch. Seriously. You know, we read it in Scripture, but we've seen it. You know, you could be suffering for 20 years, one touch from the King, and you're free. It's the name above all other names. It's the power that saves. We've been singing about it and declaring it this morning. And I'm someone like, and I've grown up in a Christian family, and my parents, you know, they went out to Toronto in 94, and I've heard stories of this great outpouring, and I don't know, maybe if you're a bit older, there's different stories and there's different revivals, and we need to honor that, and we need to celebrate that. But I can't live my life on something that happened in my dad and mum's life. I need this outpouring now. I need the Spirit of God now. I need to experience it now, today. I need to encounter God face to face now. I can't keep going to meeting after meeting, hearing about what happened over there. Great. But I want it happening now, here in my life. And we need to look at keys and what do we need? Well, we need to want it. We need to hunger for it. We need to cry for it. We need to come together, and we do. And you know, if the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, then we need it too. Amen? And the funny thing is, it's a bit funny, really, but do you know that Jesus didn't do anything except through the Spirit of God? That Jesus himself, the Son of God, God himself, was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it was only when he was anointed, or after he was anointed, that he went out and did his miracles. He did everything he did was through Holy Spirit. So if Jesus needs Holy Spirit, we definitely need Holy Spirit. And yeah, so Moses encountered God face to face. And he had this awesome encounter with God. He went up the mountain, came down the mountain, and his face shone, didn't it? His face shone with the glory of God. And we read in Corinthians that we find out later that, you know, he put a veil over his face, and we understand that the reason he put a veil over his face is because after a while, this anointing in his face started to fade. So, and he didn't want people to see that the anointing was fading. He didn't want people to kind of come up to him and question him and say, "Hey, Moses, your face was really bright, but now, you know, it's lost some of its shininess. And why is that? Well, what's going on? What happened?" And like, he didn't want to have to face those questions. So it says that he had a veil covering his face to cover up the fading glory. And God spoke to me when I heard this and I read this. And I just felt like sometimes, you know, we can have an amazing encounter with God, or we can hear about an encounter of God, or something really, really good can happen. And then we can try and hold on to that forever. And kind of like, what I'm trying to say is that human nature, our very nature can be to try and cover up something that's faded or going, rather than just being real about it and saying, you know what, if God isn't here and God isn't blessing it, we need to go somewhere where he is. We need to move. We need to change. We need to, does that make sense? Like, for instance, I don't know, I don't want to pick on women, but as women get older, I'm not saying for these women, but, you know, maybe you wear more makeup. Maybe your face, your skin, you know what I mean? You know, or maybe you're a man and you have a midlife crisis or something, and suddenly you have to go buy a power tool or a fast car because you need to experience the glory of the past. You know, it's human nature to do this. You know, it's in us to cover up, but we're built for the glory of God. We're created to carry his glory. That's who we are. We're built for it. We're made, we're created for his glory. We're not supposed to try and cover up. We're supposed to say, you know what, okay, maybe I'm not in a place right now where I'm experiencing and I'm not filled with your glory, but I'm going to go find it again because you want to give it to me. You're leading me. You're drawing me. You know, God wants you to bear fruit. He wants glory to be revealed in you and through you. You know? Amen. And the Israelites, I'm going to try and be quick here. The Israelites, God's chosen people, were the custodians of God's glory, the guardians. Think about it. In the Old Testament, you know, they had the very power of God, that, you know, the temple, the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies, and between the cherubim, the mercy seat. That was the Shekinah glory of God. His very presence dwelt there. And that's their whole life evolved around the presence of God. That's who they were. Everything they did, the presence of God was in the middle of it. His very, very presence. And it's funny because that's who we're called to be. The presence of God needs to be in the center of everything we do. It needs to be the center of our church. It needs to be the center of our marriage, the center of our relationships, the center of our very being. You know, and I'll go quick, but we know the story. You know, the high priest, and they put bells on his clothing, and they put a rope around his ankle, and he'd go through all these rituals and sacrifices, and then he'd go into the Holy of Holies, because no sin, there can be no sin in the Holy of Holies. And if there was any sin, if he wasn't perfectly clean, he'd be struck dead in God's presence, and they'd have to pull him out, because no one's silly enough to go in after him. You know? And like, but somewhere along the way, and we don't know where, and it doesn't tell us how, I don't think, but the Israelites lost their way a little bit. You know, because in 70 AD, the Romans invaded the temple. They ransacked the Holy of Holies. And do you know what they found? They didn't find anything. There was nothing there. It was empty. There was no glory. But yet we know that it departed before then, because 30 years earlier, Jesus dying on a cross, the veil was torn in half when he died, and the temple. Do you know how many people died in the temple when that happened? None. Because nothing was happening in the temple. There was nothing there. It was just an empty room. There's nothing in it. But it gets better. There's a historical record from 63 BC, where Pompey invaded Jerusalem, and he had written that he wanted to find out for himself. He'd heard about the Holy of Holies, and he wanted to see it for himself. So 63 BC. So he finds a temple, he pulls back the curtain, and it's an empty room. There's no glory. There's no Ark of the Covenant. There's nothing in it. It's empty. So that's just a little bit strange. So how long had the glory departed from that temple? We don't know. But one thing we do know, and the point that I'm making is that the religious system continued long after the glory departed. Long after. Can you imagine being a high priest and putting on bells and having rope tied around your leg and doing all the rituals and doing everything and walking into an empty room? I mean, really? Can you imagine that? That's what they did. We don't know how long for. The religious system continued, pretending like nothing was missing. Why? I think part of our human nature is that when we're part of something and we're part of a group and there's system in place and there's traditions in place, and I'm not against system or tradition, but we continue because kind of like, I don't know, it's nice to belong to something, isn't it? It's nice to be part of a team. And I get all that, and that's good. But if the presence of God isn't in the center of it, if Holy Spirit isn't moving amongst it, it is a complete joke. That's the reality. It is a joke. I mean, that's a joke. You know, what's the point? What's the point in giving your time to that? What's the point in, I don't want to come to church every week just for a meeting. I want to come to church to encounter God, to encounter Holy Spirit, and he lives in every one of you. And when we come together, We should be having a Holy Spirit party. Amen. That's what should be happening. We should be having a party in here because we're all full of the Holy Spirit. We should be having a party like the disciples are having a party, because all of us have the ability to walk in all the giftings that Holy Spirit has given us, because it's in him. You know, when we realize that the glory is missing, we have two choices. We can either pretend, and I don't think any of us here are actors, and I don't think any of us want to do that. Or we can get on our knees, and we can say, God, I want a face-to-face encounter. I need to have your presence in my life. I need your glory. I need to see you face-to-face. I need to be where you are. You know, like Moses said, didn't he? He said, you know, if your presence doesn't go before us, then don't send us. We don't want to go if you're not there. And this has just really impacted me. And like, without God's presence, you know, it can become so empty and we can just go through the motions. And you know what? We have God's presence. His presence is here. And God has spoken to us already this morning. But I want to stir your heart as mine has been stirred. Let's not just be a people that go through the motions. You know, if the presence of God isn't in the heart of everything we do, how are we going to impact the world? How, if the church doesn't revolve around the presence of God, how are we going to reach people? How are we going to, if the church doesn't do it, who is? Who will do it? You know, we need his presence. We need his spirit. We are called and chosen to walk in his power and authority. We're called to be his disciples. We need to continue in the word of God to make sure that we don't lose track, to make sure that actually we are in tune. We're in tune with him. You know, I think it was Balder, a pastor from Iceland, who said, you know, you don't get turned 180 degrees. You get turned 1 degree 180 times. And before long, you could be walking in a completely different direction to which God wants you to, and you haven't even noticed it. And I just feel so much that, you know, this is a summer period where it's so easy to kind of feel lethargic and to feel, I don't know, so many people are away and our routines get messed up. We go on holiday and that's awesome. But God is calling us. He wants to fill us with his fire. He wants to fill us with his power. And we need Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up.